Easter changes things. Easter changes everything. If the resurrection never happened, then we wouldn't be here. We would all still be cowering in fear, prisoners of the fear of permanent death, and subject to the baseless whims of superstition. That's the way it used to be. Easter is a choice. It's a decision we all make. Not making the decision is a decision. You can choose to embrace the promise of your baptism, or you can choose the path that leads to nowhere, back to paganism and godlessness and death and superstition. That's the choice. When we begin to know and understand our Easter hope, death has no more hold over us. Of course, we're all afraid of suffering and pain at the moment of physical death. That's very natural. It's very human. We're Easter people, with the hope of our resurrection always in our hearts and minds. We're freed from that old fear of death and filled with a new expectation, a new hope for our future. We begin to be concerned that our loved ones will also share our hope and our future, and that we not put our own future at risk by living our lives in selfish, dangerous, destructive ways that separate us from God's love. Easter is a decision. Easter changes everything. Of course, we face challenges. In the first reading, we read that Paul and Barnabas, when they returned from their first mission trip, they strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, saying, "It's necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. We will live with God in heaven." And we read in the book of Revelation, that second reading today, "Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race." That's his plan. He will dwell with them and they will be his people. And God himself will always be with them as God. God will console us and he'll comfort us. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away. This is our Easter hope. Easter changes things. But we must honestly and bravely challenge ourselves, our beliefs and our behaviors. Here on earth, we must turn our backs on selfish pursuits and learn how to love. It's not simply a suggestion. It's a commandment. Jesus gave us this commandment. We heard this in today's gospel. "I give you a new commandment. Love one another." Isn't it interesting that as Judas walked out the door to act on a hate impulse, Jesus turns to his disciples and says, "As I have loved you, so also you should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And that's how we know that Judas was no longer Jesus' disciple. Now everyone here knows this will be difficult. And the apostles warned us, as we heard It's necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And these hardships will largely consist of virtuous changes in our own lives. We have to love ourselves less in order to have more love for one another. We call this sacrifice. It's very Christian. We may have to let go of many of our favorite things if we're to serve others. Love becomes the new yardstick with which we must measure our preparation for the journey to heaven. Love is the place where Jesus is asking us to go so that we can live with him. If we're disciples of Jesus, it's not simply because of what we know, but because of our love and concern for one another. I would urge everybody here to read the lives of the saints if you want to see some great examples. Love one another. And that's how we will all know that we're Easter people.